The E-Commerce Fuel Podcast is brought to you by OneClick Upsell from Zipify Apps. And I love OneClick Upsell because it offers an incredible amount of bang for the buck. If you get the app, it's simple enough and powerful enough that you can get it set up and get running in an hour or two, get those upsells in front of your customers. And in return, one in six of your customers are going to spend more with you because one in six people who are offered an upsell through OneClick Upsell actually take it. And that's money that just flows instantly without having to spend more on advertising, without having to go through painful, expensive, timely CRO processes. This is something you can set up and start seeing the fruits of right away. They've helped generate over $150 million in additional revenue for Shopify merchants just like you. So if that sounds interesting, you can learn more about OneClick Upsell and get started with them at ecommercefuel.com/upsell. The E-Commerce Fuel Podcast is sponsored by Klaviyo, the leading e-commerce marketing solution for email and SMS trusted by over 50,000 merchants. Why? Because they have a pretty amazing segmentation and customization engine built in to their marketing platform. It lets you send messages based on what your customers have done, what pages they've visited, how much they've spent with you, how much they're likely to spend with you over time with their very cool LTV prediction tool, what products they've purchased or haven't purchased. It's pretty incredible. And in a world where email inboxes are only getting more crowded, people are getting more ruthless, sending highly targeted messages is the only way you're going to be able to cut through the noise. And you can do that with Klaviyo. So if you want to make more money from your flows, from your efforts on email and SMS, check them out. You can start for free at klaviyo.com/ECF. That's klaviyo.com/ECF. Hey, it's Andrew here, and welcome to the E-Commerce Fuel Podcast, the show dedicated to helping seven-figure plus e-commerce brands build incredible businesses and amazing lives. And today on the show, joined by Chucky Gregory from ClubEarlyBird.com, an ECF private community member, who has built an impressive business using SMS text marketing to sell his product and then parlaying that into a subscription business. Very cool. And so we get into all the stuff you expect in terms of how he's marketing, how he's convincing people to opt in to his SMS list. A little giveaway here. He's not just pulling phone numbers from the checkout, partially due to a big change in Shopify recently. So how is he convincing people to opt in? He actually is kind of sending almost like a little weekly newsletter, which you wouldn't expect with SMS, but it's working well for him. So interesting model, especially on the recurring side. Anytime you can get recurring revenue, it's always a win for just peace of mind, for valuation, for all that kind of stuff. So enjoyed hearing his approach and hope you'll find it interesting as well. Chucky, welcome to the podcast. Good to have you on. And I figured we could give people, I mentioned Club Early Bird at the top, but I'd love to hear how you developed this morning cocktail. Like, I mean, getting something that gets people out of bed in the morning is probably raise global GDP by 10% a year if everyone took something like this, you know. So what's the story about how you guys came up with this and developed it, and what's the backstory?
Yeah, so I kind of wanted to get, you know, in the back of my mind was always I wanted to have an online business, and I knew I needed to kind of solve a problem. So it was always like, if I'm going to do something big, I got to solve a big problem. So we, you know, with my distribution business, I have routes where we distribute different snacks and stuff to convenience stores. Me and my guys have to wake up super early to run those routes because deliveries have to be done by a certain time for certain stores. So we always had to wake up, you know, 4 or 5 a.m. to start the routes. And I was always really struggling with that. And then to find people that would also do that was hard too. So I was like, let's dig into this issue, see if we can find a cheat code to waking up early. So I started, you know, just testing all these different habits and, you know, different tips and tricks, put the alarm clock across the room, all this, you know, sniffing salts, all these different things. And then one day I ran into something in a book called The Morning Cocktail. And this is basically just water, lemon, and sea salt that you put on your nightstand. You wake up and you drink instantly, providing, you know, hydration, electrolytes, and a few other things your body needs. It didn't taste good, but it did help a bit. So one day I was just like, let's make a product that is just, you know, one scoop. I could put it in my morning cocktail, have everything I need to wake up early. You know, we'll see how it goes. So for like 18 months, we just tested all these different ingredients. Me, my wife, and my two buddies that were running the routes, we would test a different morning cocktail every morning for like about 18 months till we kind of figured out the perfect, you know, blend, and then kind of tested it. We launched November 2019. We got 300 tubs in from our manufacturer, and we're just like, let's see if we could sell these 300 tubs, and if we can, we'll turn it into a business. And we sold out in about a month. And then since then, it's just been a race of trying to keep up with the inventory. Really scaled a lot since about June last year, 2020.
That's really cool. The ingredients you have, do you use caffeine or do you use any other stimulants or uppers, or is it all kind of natural stuff that can get you going without having to worry about that kind of potential crash later in the day?
Yeah. So those three things that we found that we definitely needed, it was electrolytes, clean energy, and then mood boost, a mood enhancement. So for mood enhancement, there's different nootropics like ashwagandha, theobromine, which is the alkaloid found in chocolate that kind of makes you feel good. You can get that without the sugar. And then clean energy, we combine green coffee bean extract, which is like a natural caffeine, with the amino L-theanine, which kind of gives like a really smooth energy that kind of lasts without a crash. So it's like a really clean energy with the mood enhancement and the electrolytes. So that's kind of the product in a nutshell.
Very cool. And how did you end up making, were you on Google and figuring all this stuff out and ordering random bits off of websites and just kind of apothecarying it on your kitchen table? Was there a facility that you kind of like worked with that did supplements that they said, hey, just tell us what you want, we'll mix it up for you? What did that process look like mixing a formula like this? Because it's, yeah, a lot of trial and error, I would imagine.
Yeah, exactly. It was a wild time. I mean, I would just do all this research. I would hire a couple different like supplement formulators to give me ingredient ideas. And then I would just look at pretty much every formula label that's ever been made for a supplement. And then I'd order the ingredients. So I had all these bags of ingredients at my house. And, we would test all this different stuff. And we were kind of like mad scientists for a little bit. But we also like worked with some supplement formulators to make sure everything was safe and clean. Also worked with our manufacturer once we got further along, kind of had a really good idea of what we were going to do. And then, you know, over time, we constantly tweak it. So twice now we've slightly tweaked a couple ingredients just that as we see new studies come out or anything like that, we'll improve the formula. But it's pretty nailed down at this point.
Yeah, fantastic. Well, good work. And totally unrelated to the formula or SMS we're going to talk about here, kind of random, but I was looking at your website and you've got a really good highlight reel. Like you kind of alluded to it a little bit. One person's like, you know, this is like the cheat code for the morning and really like very convincing video testimonials, which are difficult to get for people. How did you get those? What was the process? Or was it a SaaS app that you used? Was it just reaching out to customers that you knew had ordered a lot and asked them to film a video? How'd you get those? Because those were powerful and they're difficult to get.
To get the actual videos?
Yeah, the testimonial videos from people.
Yeah, so we have in our buyer's welcome email flow that we have through Klaviyo, we have a couple emails that are 100% focused on getting a video testimonial. So what we do is we say, hey, make a quick video testimonial. We basically give them no guidelines, but we market to them so much that they kind of know our like messages that we want them to say, which is the cheat code of waking up early, you know, when coffee isn't cutting it, those kind of things that we know work. So we incentivize them by giving them our free shirt if they send in a video testimonial. So they just reply to that email, send us their video, and then we send them a discount code and the link to the shirt, and they get the shirt for free. So it's kind of our signature shirt. It's got our logo on it. In the middle, it says "Get Shit Done."
Got it. Nice. Let's talk about SMS and text messaging because it's been a really powerful part of your business. What maybe a couple high level metrics, and then we can dive into the particulars. How many people do you have on your SMS list, and what are you spending every month on SMS?
We're spending about, you know, it's purely based on, it's a per message thing. So you're only going to pay based on how many texts you send out. We're paying about $500 a month, I think. We're using PostScripts right now. We're also in talks with Attentive, kind of evaluating the two and weighing, you know, the pros and cons between those two softwares. But yeah, we got about 10,000 subscribers, I think, and about 4,000 that are opted in for our weekly text that we do every Tuesday. It's called Get Shit Done Tuesday. That's our main SMS offer. Before, it was really easy to opt in people for that because we could opt in people from the Shopify checkout. And then we would, a few days later, we would send them a text that said, hey, you want to join Get Shit Done Tuesday? It's a motivational weekly text that we do. You definitely want to be a part of it. Just reply GSDT, you'll be enrolled. So that's how we originally started building the list. When there was like a rule change like a month or two ago where you can't opt in people at the Shopify checkout unless you're Shopify Plus. So that's something we're evaluating at this point, whether, and for a supplement brand, we don't use Shopify payments, so we don't get any of the transaction fees benefits from Shopify Plus. So it's kind of a tougher call there. We basically get customized checkout would be the main benefit.
Also, they gated it. They gated opt-in for SMS just on Shopify Plus. So you got to pony up big time if you want to get that.
Yeah, you got to get on the $2,000 a month plan if you want to opt in people for SMS at checkout. So we just took the phone number completely off at checkout just to eliminate another field. And now we opt in people from the thank you. We have our main call to action on our thank you page is to opt in for our weekly text. And then we have multiple emails in our buyer's email sequence. And we get about a third of our customers to end up opting in to the weekly text.
Interesting. I noticed in prepping for this, yeah, that you took off the SMS. So even if people don't, you just don't ask for it. It's possible for people to purchase from you without putting a phone number in. Two things came to mind for me. Like, were you able to tell if that made a difference in terms of conversion? And how often do you have instances where you need to call someone and not having their phone number is problematic? Like, has that been a problem, or is it not really a non-issue because everyone checks email these days?
Yeah, it's not an issue for as far as needing to contact them ever. The only time where it would have been beneficial to have that is, so when they opt in for the weekly text, we don't have their phone number isn't connected to an account. So it limits the segmenting we can do as far as they've bought or they've spent a certain amount or they've purchased, you know, this package versus a different package. So we can't segment as much because of that. But we have found that every time we can eliminate anything as far as what we have to ask for at checkout, it helps our conversions. We're able to convert about 60% of our add to carts to purchase because we've really streamlined and simplified the checkout process as much as we possibly can by, you know, we even eliminated like the address to this, or what they call it, the second address input. So there's only one address part. And in that we put, you need to include apartment number included here too. Because in a company field, anything like that, it's worth removing. It's an easy way to just slightly increase your conversions at checkout.
Got it. So it's not the billing address, but just the second address line on like the shipping address, I see.
Yeah, so I think by default it has address line one, address line two. So ours is only just the one address line.
Interesting. Okay. You mentioned PostScript versus Attentive. What's kind of driving your, share your experience if you would with PostScript, and then also just what's making you think about going to Attentive?
Yeah, PostScript's been great. The pricing I think is really good. Attentive has some really cool ways to capture phone numbers before checkout. Really smooth pop-ups that they do, like two-step process. PostScript has it too. It's just it's just not as smooth. And there's just some features that, you know, PostScript has, and Attentive has, and they're able to kind of work with you on a one-on-one basis to do kind of more some more custom things. That PostScript is basically just it's the app. You could, yeah, you know, you do, you know, use it or don't, the features that are on there. But PostScript's been great, don't get me wrong. They pretty much have all the stuff that we need to do. We've built our list through it. Yeah, it's been good. As far as like opting in for our weekly text, they make it really easy. It's a link on our thank you page or the emails. And when they click that link, it takes them right into their phone text part. And all I have to do is hit send. So they click the link, they hit send that text, and they're opted in. So they make it super simple to do that.
Got it. And what percent of your sales are you seeing being driven from text?
So since we're only using... So how we have our business set up is all our front end purchases are to our packages, which is our tub, our supplement, our cocktail shaker cup, and our ebook. So after that initial purchase, all our, you know, remarketing, our retargeting ads, our SMS, our emails, we send some postcards, direct mail, all of that is pointing to the VIP subscription. And the SMS program probably does the best job of bringing awareness to that VIP subscription. I wouldn't say it brings in a huge percentage of sales, but the sales it does bring in are very high lifetime value sales. So on the weekly text, we include a link to our VIP subscription at the end, right below the sign off. And a multimedia text, which is a text with a image or a GIF, is 3 cents, essentially. It'll be, you know, plus or minus a little bit, but it's essentially 3 cents. And we're making about 30 to 40 cents per text sent on those weekly texts. But where you really make bank is where you have that list for when you do product launches. We do flavor drops every couple months. We do, like, you know, if you do like a promo or a sale like Black Friday, this list is a gold mine. You could get up to like $10 per text sent because it essentially has 100% open rate. And since they're really short, they get, you know, much higher click-through rate too. So that list, weekly text list, was huge for us on Black Friday and flavor drops we've been doing.
How do you convince people? I think SMS is a pretty personal medium. You got to be careful how you send. And it's one thing to be able to kind of nudge them along when you get the phone number from checkout. It seems like it would be significantly harder to get them to opt in with their phone number after purchase, which I know is what you're doing. And so how do you do that? How are you selling the benefits to people who are, most of them, going to be reluctant to sign up for an SMS list, I would imagine? How are you doing that well? Because obviously you're opting in a lot of people after checkout. Is it copy? Is it benefits? Is it discounts?
Yeah, it's one of the reasons I really like this strategy too, because we're not just kind of grabbing their phone number at checkout, then texting them. With this strategy, like, they are saying, text me every single Tuesday morning. They know they're going to get that text. They're asking for it. So that, see, it makes it say, you know, you could feel better about texting them, and it's not as intrusive, I guess. But as far as like the copy, how we're getting them, I'm pulling up our thank you page right now. So that's the main way we're getting opt-ins, is from the thank you page. We have right on the thank you page, it says, you know, thank you so much for trusting us with your mornings. It's truly humbling and we won't let you down. And then we say 4 things you need to know. And the first thing is the first call to action. And the copy for that is, every Tuesday morning, we send out a kick-ass motivational text. It's called Get Shit Done Tuesday. You definitely want to be a part of that. It's 100% free to join GSDT. Click here. That's it. And then we also have, in parentheses, by subscribing, you'll also get VIP access to limited edition product launches. So kind of throwing in another value prop there. But essentially, that's all the copy that it needs. I think sometimes marketers we're a little bit in our own heads with thinking it's more intrusive than it is. I think people are more willing to get text now than we kind of give them credit for. But yeah, and then we pretty much have that same copy in our first email they'll receive as well. So they kind of get hit twice with that, and then we'll have an email that's 100% designated to just keep laying out the benefits of the weekly text program.
Got it. And newsletter, you know, this is traditional kind of thinking, but newsletter seems like a text seems very great for short and punchy, for order confirmations, for short form stuff. When I think newsletter, I think, you know, hundreds, if not 1,000+ words. Seems like it'd be harder to deliver via SMS. So what do your newsletters actually look like? Like, what are you putting in there? How long are they? Give us a sense of what those look like.
Yeah, so it is a lot cheaper if you just do text. It's like 1 cent per message sent, but you only can include 160 characters. It's not enough at 160 characters. But if you include an image or a GIF, you get 1,600 characters, and that's plenty. You don't even need most of that. Depending on the content you're sending. But for us, usually it's, you know, our weekly text programs, a motivational / inspiration text message. It's either something that I read or I heard that kind of, you know, made me think twice, or, you know, kind of, you know, inspired me. So I just kind of pass that along. But yeah, so I actually have here the one we sent today, since today is Tuesday. Hi there, name. And then it's GSDT. We have a little emoji, and then it says, don't be the person that says, I don't have time or must be nice. Be the person that makes your goals a priority and get shit done. So, you know, it's pretty short and sweet, kind of just something to get them thinking. And then I sign off. I say, cheers, Chucky Club Early Bird. And then we have a link to our VIP subscriptions. That link will get about 5 to 10% click-through rate, and you know, we'll get a decent amount of new subscribers just from that. We're not really even promoting it or anything. It's just a way to stay top of mind every week. You never know when they're going to run out of our product. And when, you know, our message comes through, maybe that just triggers them that they need to restock and get on that subscription. So yeah, that's one of them.
Hey, Andrew here with a little aside. If you're listening, you're obviously interested in e-commerce. And so I want to make sure you know about our private community for 7- and 8-figure e-commerce brands at e-commerce fuel. And the secret sauce, like you might guess, is it's limited to people who own stores, who are in the trenches, practitioners doing this stuff. It's a very curated community, which has three big benefits. First, it means everyone inside can help get fast, on-point answers to your most important questions. If you're trying to decide if SMS is a tool worth rolling out, if you just got suspended on Amazon, if you're trying to hire a director of e-commerce, these are all things that either people have experience with or have gone through in the forums. And if you post and ask questions, you'll get answers within hours, sometimes even minutes, as well as being able to tap into close to a decade of archive discussions. So you get a lot of insights, fast answers to pressing questions. You get to plug into an amazing network of over 1,100 experienced e-commerce entrepreneurs. So you can reach out to people. If you're in e-commerce fuel, our members are incredibly giving and generous. And so if you want to reach out to someone with expertise, oftentimes we'd be happy to share what they know. If you're, you know, traveling, hopefully when traveling is a common thing again, a lot of our members would hit in the city, you know, DC, Dallas, Sydney, Australia, you know, London, wherever it is, and be able to have someone on the ground you can connect with, or maybe grab a beer with. It's an amazing network. And then finally, we've got a huge user-generated review library with over 10,000 reviews on agencies, software, e-commerce software that you can tap into, avoid costly hiring and software mistakes. Nothing is worse than spending 3 months with an agency to onboard only to find out that a bunch of people already tried them and they were horrible and they wasted a bunch of your money and your life. So those are the kind of things you can avoid tapping into the unbiased reviews and experiences of our members with our software directory. So if any of this sounds interesting to you, you should join us at ecommercefuel.com. You can learn more. You can apply for membership there. We also have a 5x ROI guarantee. If you own a 7- or 8-figure brand and your membership fees for our community don't pay for themselves at least 5 times over the course of the first year, we'll refund it completely as well as send you $1,000 just for the wasted time. So ecommercefuel.com, check it out. We'd love to have you apply and potentially join the community. All right, back to the discussion. Are you interacting with, what's the two-way look like? Like, do you get a lot of people texting back, hey, thanks, or love it, or how much is the interaction of them replying to you and then you writing back to kind of just, because obviously it's one thing that's nice about text is you don't feel bad. If you have an email and somebody writes you something, sometimes you feel bad writing just a little 3- or 4-word response, but via text is the perfect medium to hammer out. I mean, you can hammer out a couple hundred replies in, you know, half an hour.
Yeah, definitely. We have a good handful of people that pretty much every week will have something to say about it. Like they love it or like some emojis or something. So some of those we just say, you know, thanks for your reply. We love you too. But we have PostScript integrated with Gorgeous, who is the app that kind of we have all our customer service run through. And then our customer service person, which shout out to Itzel, she handles all our customer service. So she'll see it right along with all the email tickets and everything like that. As soon as one comes in, she'll open it up. And sometimes they'll even prefer that medium for, you know, they have a product question or can I drink this later in the day or some kind of, you know, product question like that, that they'll ask via text. People like to reply to the text quite a bit, but it's not like an overwhelming amount at all. Most of the people read it, will either click through or close it out. But yeah, it is super easy to have a two-way conversation at the same time.
That's cool. How do you find the drop-off in subscribership? I imagine people are probably more likely to unsubscribe via SMS versus email just because it's more personal medium. So do you find people stick around for a while if you're careful about how you're, as long as you're not, you know, just spamming them and sending them 3, 4, 5 stuff a week, or you're being considerate, or is there kind of do people drop off after a while?
Yeah, I'm not sure exactly like how, you know, if I could see like how long the average person sticks around for. It's about like every week, about 0.5% will drop off. it's not something I even truly like. I probably should monitor that more, but
that's not that bad. That's in the ballpark of email. So, I mean, 0.5% is maybe a touch high, but it's not, that's lower than I would have thought.
Yeah. What's funny is like, I would have thought too, when we have, so we send this weekly text every week, but if we have like a product launch or something, we'll send them two or three emails in that week to kind of hype up the product. Okay. Now the product's live. And those, I would have assumed that those texts would have gotten a much higher unsubscribe rate because they're not really part of the weekly text. But yeah, they're the same. It's about, they stay pretty low as well. So yeah, I don't really, I somewhat like look at the unsubscribe number, but you know, not too much. But you're always kind of testing things too. I've been testing whether, you know, having a shorter message versus kind of a longer form. Because with 1600 characters, that's a lot in a text. So you can go pretty long, or, you know, going short, really short, will have like just like a quote that's, you know, pretty short instead of like something longer. So testing, you know, that kind of thing for the unsubscribe rate and then the click-through rate is definitely important to do as you go forward.
Yeah. Let's talk a little bit about the subscription business you're building alongside this. What percent of your revenue just in general comes from your subscriptions versus your one-time purchases?
Yeah, it's grown so fast. I'd say it's about 30 to 40% of our revenue now. Probably 35 to 40% actually is from the subscription side. And that's a combination of the people joining the subscription and then the renewals. But having that kind of floor as a sales level is really cool. They renew every night. So, you know, you wake up to a really solid sales floor to kind of start your day instead of starting at zero every day. That's been huge. And yeah, that was a really important move that we made early on. And it's kind of what really brought us to Shopify in the first place, is being able to really automate that subscription side of the business.
And what are you using to manage all that? Are you using an app, or how are you managing that natively in Shopify?
We use the Recharge app on Shopify to manage all that. They have some really cool features too. I like that instead of, you know, having people have to sign in for their account and everything, you just basically send them a link and they'll get a link and automated emails that they click it and it takes them right into their account. And we give our customers the full ability to, you know, change their subscription. That helps get rid of a lot of customer service things when they don't have to call to cancel the subscription and whatnot. So they have the ability to cancel, skip, delay, change their billing address. They have full access, is how we've done it.
And can they do that from their phone via text, or do they need to log in on desktop or on their phone to do that?
So they would just have to click the link in the email that we send them. But there is, and I haven't integrated it yet, but I have seen some stuff where you can have a customer be able to alter their subscription using text. And I think that's one of the advantages to Attentive, is that you could send them a text like 3 days before their subscription is about to renew. Hey, your early bird morning cocktail subscription is renewing in 3 days. If you need to skip a shipment, say skip. If you need to cancel, say cancel, or something like that. And they could just automate it, you know, to do that. So I don't know how easy you want to make it. There's got to be a balance.
No, there is. You don't. I mean, there's a real fine balance. It's kind of an ethical question too, about you don't want to beat people over the head with, you don't want to constantly remind people, hey, here's your invoice. You're spending this much money, and encourage them to cancel. But you also want to be transparent and let them know it's coming. There's a real fine line between the two, I think.
Exactly. Yeah. We have the email go out 3 days before saying, hey, in 3 days, your subscription is going to renew. Here's the link if you need to change anything. After that, the transaction goes through. They'll get a confirmation email, and that goes to our fulfillment center. They ship it out. It's all completely automated at that point.
Yeah, interesting. We have, I'd be interested to hear what your experience has been with Dunning management. So I use Chargeify to manage all of our subscriptions, and it's been pretty good. And one of the things they have that's great is a good Dunning process where, you know, if a card declines or something, it has an automated email flow that sends out to help kind of get people with a link to update the credit card information or whatever it is. So that's one nice thing. Another thing too, we do is we're a little less you know, I've been in businesses where we're, you know, you're selling $3,000 physical products, and you want to make dang sure that you've got the right, you know, a verified ship to address that matches on a fraud basis or on an address verification service basis. For subscriptions, for our community, that's less of an issue because there's less very little, you know, fraud that we have to deal with. I'm guessing for your product line, where the margins are probably pretty good, there might be some kind of, you know, thinking through like how strict do we want to be if, you know, if we send a product with, you know, 70-89% margins and it's fraudulent, you know, unless people are buying a crazy amount of bulk, probably low risk here. It's probably makes more sense to, you know, err on the side of being a little more leaning on that and getting the legitimate sales. So yeah, I'd love to hear like how are you thinking about balancing that dunning process, because that's always an issue when you have subscriptions.
Yeah, we haven't had an issue so far as like issues with like fraud or anything like that. With subscriptions, you always do have the error charges. So you'll have a certain percentage of orders will always have error charges, whether it's, you know, they didn't have money in their account or their card got expired or something like that. So with Recharge, we're using, we have another app connected to that, which is called Churn Buster. And it basically has a 10-step like automated thing that we set up, and you can set up however many steps you want. But you know, on day one, it'll try to charge it again. Day two, send out this email to get them to update their billing info. Day three, try to charge it again. Day four, send out this email, and they're all different. But it can recover at least it covers over half of the error charges or any charges that have issues are recovered in that. So that gets back a lot of our, you know, error sales. But yeah, you're always going to have a little bit of a churn from you know, that side of it.
What about thinking about churn? Because churn is, man, 5 or 6 or 7% or 10% churn doesn't seem so bad until you annualize it. And then you think, oh, wow, it's going to eat the whole business in under a year. Churn's huge in this kind of business or SaaS. Do you have any tips or thoughts on keeping churn low? Again, kind of going back to the ethical line you want to walk. No one likes, you know, calling up to cancel something and having to be stuck, you know, with some very insistent person for 20 minutes trying to talk you out of canceling when you want to cancel. But there's also, I think, something to be said for a tactful way to try to keep people engaged as long as you're not obnoxious about it or make it too hard to cancel. So anything you've done that's been effective in reducing churn?
Yeah. So we've been able to set up some stuff where if they need to cancel, it'll say, why are they canceling? Why are you canceling? And then it, based on the answer you choose, it'll give you the option to delay it or skip this shipment. And that's helped a lot. We've reduced, we're about 5 or 6% churn right now from like 10% just by kind of meeting them at the right place at the right time as far as that. Because they have to answer every time they cancel a subscription what their reasoning is. And like 95% of the answers are we have too much product. They just have too much because our tubs are 45 servings. So it's quite a bit. And sometimes it's hard for the customers to kind of gauge how much, you know, they're going to use. Some use a half scoop a day. Some use two scoops. Some use, you know, a scoop in the morning, scoop in the afternoon, or, you know, a husband and wife are both using it. So sometimes it's hard for them to, you know, gauge how much they're going to use. So that's the biggest challenge we've had. And we're constantly trying to figure out, you know, how to give them the right subscription that they need. We change it to, you know, originally we were just doing every 8 weeks renewals, but we change it to offering every 4, 6, or 8. And surprisingly, a lot of people choose the 4 and 6. So that's helped a lot with just revenue in general. But yet reducing churn is always kind of on your mind because you think of a subscription base as kind of a baseline. But if you're not bringing in new customers, then it'll deplete. It'll go away eventually just because of the churn. So you kind of have to always, you know, monitor that. And because of the churn, if you're bringing in the same amount of customers every day for years, you're going to reach a point where that's going to plateau. I mean, you're just going to be kind of, your churn is going to meet your new customers. So you're going to kind of just plateau at that point. So you always kind of have to think of how to bring in new customers. That'll be kind of the lifeblood of your subscription business as well as your front end business.
Yeah. Every subscription business has a ceiling based on how quickly you're going to grow. You'll hit it at some point or another. So any kind of closing thoughts either on the SMS side or the subscription side? I mean, it's a very cool combination you've leveraged to use SMS to help grow your subscription side of the business. It's any, you know, so much more valuable having the subscription facet to your business in terms of your own personal sanity, the business health, and also if you decide to sell it for a higher multiple in the future. So, but yeah, any closing thoughts on anything, you know, on either of those fronts that you'd encourage people to do or lessons learned that we haven't covered yet?
I think it's important to, what's helped us is having like a clear customer journey. We know that we want them to buy a package with our ebook, our cocktail shaker cup, our tub on the front end. And then we know we want them to move them to the VIP subscription after that. Then we know we want that to sell them on flavor drops and new products after that. So we have a clear customer journey. And when you as a business know that, then you could kind of set up your marketing in a way to really tell your customer what you want them to do as they go through that, you know, customer journey. With our customers, they there's never really a question of what we're wanting them to do next. When they hear about us and they go to our sales page, it's only one thing for them to do, to buy a one tub, a two tub, or a four tub package. And then we'll have our upsells and whatnot. And then, you know, after that, all the marketing only leads them to one place, which is the VIP subscription. So I think having a clear customer journey can really help, organize everything, keep it easy.
That's great advice. Well, we've obviously been talking about it, but clubearlybird.com. Unless you're the 1% of people who just spring out of bed in the morning ready to conquer the day with zero temptation to hit the snooze, check it out. Super cool product. And I'm going to be picking some up as well. So clubearlybird.com. Chucky, thank you. Are you up for rounding this out with a fast lightning round to end the episode?
Yeah, for sure.
Great. What's your favorite piece of e-commerce tech?
I think I would say kind of two things. One, click upsell. That's been huge. About 10% of our revenue comes from pre-sales and upsells post-purchase. And then the second thing is Wicked Reports. Before Wicked, we were kind of just didn't have the data to accurately make decisions. So we're kind of just guessing. So that's helped us a ton.
Cool. One click upsell or sponsor the podcast. You can confirm I have not paid you to say this, hopefully.
Yeah.
and Wicked Reports, you said?
Yeah, Wicked Reports. It's kind of like a third party tracking to integrates with Facebook, Google, and your CRM, Shopify, and kind of just brings everything at one place and gives you accurate data on, you know, what ads are creating customers. And then it'll continue to build lifetime value to the ad that brought them in. So if they purchase 3-4 times, it'll attribute all of those sales back to that original ad that brought them in or the original email. So it's kind of cool to see the lifetime value, your different traffic sources.
Oh, interesting. That's definitely valuable.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, super.
All right, so what's your least favorite piece of e-commerce tech?
I'd probably say the Google ad platform. It's like a foreign language. It's so hard. It's not intuitive. It's not easy to understand. And part of the problem, I think, is there's so much going on with the different places you can advertise and whatnot. But it's kind of funny. I've been doing like the Google ads buying myself, and I have a Facebook media buyer, when probably Google is way harder. And that's something I'm going to be looking for soon, is somebody to kind of take that over from me, because there's just so many options. It's endless as far as audiences and whatnot.
What's one of your fondest memories from childhood?
I would say so I had two brothers, and we were always just wreaking havoc in the neighborhoods. We were punk kids, and hundreds of memories of just us being pain in the ass.
Nice. Causing terror with your brothers. I can kind of relate to that. What's the most effective marketing strategy for you in the last 6 months? I'm guessing you're probably just going to say SMS marketing.
Yeah, so SMS marketing. Snapchat has been huge for us as a channel to kind of scale with. Our biggest win for ads is just product shots with a clear message on it. Cheat code to waking up early. We've spent tons of, you know, money on videos and studio lifestyle shots, but those still are our biggest winner.
That's amazing. Okay. Well, you're probably the first person I've chatted with that as an e-commerce store owner that has seen successful growth on Snapchat. That's awesome.
Oh, really? Oh, nice. Yeah. It's, you have to really create really natural kind of just selfie style videos, just kind of giving a couple points, say swipe up, and yeah, you get tons of traffic. It converts very, very low, but it's so cheap that you can still get good low customer acquisition costs.
What do you, if you have an idea, either on CPA or how much you're paying per click, how cheap is cheap with Snapchat?
So like the CPM numbers, you're going to see like $2 to $3 CPMs. So our goal is to get sub $30 customers for, you know, the cost to acquire a customer. And we're right in there with Snapchat. As far as cost of click, you're looking at like, I think it's like a quarter to 50 cents. So it doesn't convert nearly. So we convert Facebook traffic at about 10%. Snapchat's like a, probably like a 0.5%. But because of how low the CPMs are, it ends up working out.
Got it. What was a major seminal moment or period in your life that really shaped you into who you are today?
I'd say high school. We moved a lot when I was growing up. We moved 4 times in the 4 years I was in high school. So I went to a different high school, freshman year, different high school, sophomore, different junior, different senior. So it kind of just, it really gave me the ability to be really independent since I was always on the road moving.
That's intense. I don't think I've ever heard that from anyone. Did it get easier? Like, I mean, just that third and fourth year, you just get used to it? Or is it still just as hard as ever walking into a new high school, not knowing anyone?
It was kind of weird. Like the third one was the worst one because I just did not jive well with that high school. It was like so much different than like my personality. But the last one, when we moved to Indianapolis, I went to Warren Central and I was like my favorite high school. I don't know. It might've been because I was a senior too and I was ready to get out, but that was my favorite one. Junior year was my least favorite one.
And finally, you've been in the community for, I guess, 2 or 3 months now. Who's the most interesting person you've met as a part of ECF? And you can use meet loosely. It could be met in real life or, you know, have beer with, or more likely potentially in the forums, someone you've had a private message with or just seen their content and appreciated in the community.
Yeah. I haven't met him, but the founder of Ridge Wallets, he made a post about YouTube influencer marketing. And that's really stuck with me. And we're putting together a program to kind of replicate that. And we're always referring back to that post, kind of seeing how he did it. I think he was on your podcast. And I think another one, I heard him on kind of talking about the strategy. So I got like notes from the couple podcasts he did, the post he made, the replies on that post. So we're kind of trying to piece together that YouTube influencer strategy, because I think it's kind of like a perfect channel for our brand.
Very cool. Yeah, that's Sean Frank, and amazing case study. We'll link up to that in the show notes for all of our private community members if you want to check that out. So, Chuggy, fantastic. Thank you so much for sharing all this. It's a really cool brand you built, and excited to try some of this myself as someone who's not exactly a hop out of bed in the morning guy, but would like to be. So, yeah, very cool business. Appreciate you sharing the details, and it's been great having you in the community.
Awesome. Yeah, thanks for having me on.
Thanks so much for listening. And the fact that you made it to the end of the episode tells me you're probably someone interested in this stuff and might be a really good fit for the e-commerce fuel community. Our community is the world's largest group of 7- and 8-figure e-commerce store owners and offers a value-packed form, dynamic live events, and much more. If that sounds interesting at all, you should learn about membership and how to apply at ecommercefuel.com. Big thank you to our 2 sponsors. Supercharge your email marketing efforts with Klaviyo, the world's best email and SMS marketing engine at klaviyo.com/ECF. And also one-click upsell from Zipify Apps, where you can rapidly increase your average order value by offering powerful targeted upsells. You can get started with them at ecommercefuel.com/upsell. Finally, thanks to Sherelle Torricampo for helping produce the show. Work hard, adventure often, and looking forward to seeing you again next Friday.
This is the ASY Radio Network live from New York.